Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the H2 and FY 2026 earnings conference call for E2E Transportation Infrastructure Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shruti Vasani from Stellar Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. To discuss the H2 and FY 2026 business performance, we have with us the senior management team represented by Mr. Sourajit Mukherjee, the Whole-time Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Suresh Madaali, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Vinay Rao, Chairman and Non-Executive Director representing the board. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. Documents relating to the company's financial performance, including the investor presentation, has been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company's website. I now invite Mr. Sourajit Mukherjee to share his initial remarks on the company's performance, and then we will open the floor for the Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Shruti. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. On behalf of the management team, I welcome all our investors, analysts, shareholders, and stakeholders to the FY 2026 earnings call of E2E Transportation Infrastructure Limited. Financial year 2026 has been one of the most defining years in our journey, not only from a financial standpoint, but more importantly, from the standpoint of strategic transformation of this company. Over the last several years, we have consciously worked towards building a differentiated railway platform, one that combines execution capability, engineering ownership, technology development, and lifecycle services together under one integrated structure. Today, we are no longer positioning ourselves as only a conventional system integrator. We are steadily evolving into a full-stack railway safety automation and integrated rail systems platform. The Indian railway sector is entering a once-in-a-generation modernization cycle driven by safety, automation, digital traffic management, indigenous technologies, and intelligent rail infrastructure. We believe the future leaders in this sector will be the companies capable of combining design capability, product ownership, execution capability, and lifecycle support together. That is precisely the platform we at E2E Rail are building. Today, our operating structure is built around four integrated pillars. First, our core system integration business across signaling, telecom, electrification, and composite railway projects. Second, our engineering and design capability through EDRC, where we are building internal engineering depth and proprietary design capability. Third, Nova Controls Technologies, our deep tech OEM and railway safety products platform. Fourth, our operations and maintenance business, which creates long-term recurring revenue opportunities and lifecycle integration capability. This combination is strategically important because the railway industry historically operates in silos. OEMs build products but lack execution capability. System integrators execute projects but depend heavily on third-party suppliers. EPC companies operate on low differentiation and margin structures. Operation and maintenance players generally operate downstream without upstream integration capabilities. We believe that very few companies in India currently possess all these layers together together under one platform. This creates a long-term strategic moat for us at ETUI Rail in terms of execution control, margin expansion, supply chain integration, and customer retention and recurring revenue potential. Our journey over the last 16 years is reflecting this evolution. From metro signaling projects and industrial railway works, we have steadily expanded into mainline signaling, telecom systems, overhead electrification, composite rail infrastructure, private railway sidings, engineering services, and now, most importantly, railway safety technology developer. One of the most important milestones in this transformation journey came this month through NOVA. On 15th of May 2026, NOVA received CCA approval from RDSO for Kavach development. This is a major strategic milestone for the organization. With this approval, NOVA is now eligible to submit its prototype for approval while being eligible to receive field trial orders under the Kavach ecosystem. For us, this is not merely a product milestone. This is the beginning of our transition towards becoming an indigenous railway technology platform with long-term OEM capability in safety-critical systems. Kavach itself represents one of the largest railway safety opportunities in India over the coming decade. More importantly, the long-term strategic value lies beyond a single product. Through NOVA, now we are actively working towards expanding our capabilities across several other additional safety critical and locomotive related systems together with Tata Elxsi, our co-development partner, and our broader technology ecosystem. The strategic objective for us is very clear. If we can develop RDSO approved indigenous products across critical signaling and railway safety domains, we can significantly reduce dependence on imported systems and third-party OEMs. This creates multiple advantages for the group. Better bid competitiveness, stronger execution control, margin expansion, reduced supply chain dependency, and stronger lifecycle service integration. On the other hand, at the same time, NOVA benefits from having a ready internal consumer ecosystem through ETUI Rail's existing execution and system integration platform. This dramatically reduces the go-to-market challenge that most of the other standalone product companies face. We believe this combination of OEM capability, system integration capability, and O&M capability together is extremely rare within the Indian railway industry and can become a significant long-term differentiator for the company. So now, coming to the business performance of last year. FY26 was a strong year operationally. We closed the year with a consolidated revenue of 380 crores, reflecting growth of more than 51% on a year-on-year basis. The adjusted EBITDA is approximately 39 crores, while PAT stood at around 39.5 crores, while PAT stood at around 17.9 crores. Over the last 4 years, the revenue CAGR has crossed approximately 41%. Importantly, this growth was achieved while simultaneously building institutional governance, executing the IPO, rolling out company-wide ERP systems, investing into safety critical product development company NOVA, strengthening engineering capabilities and expanding organizational bandwidth. So from a business mix standpoint, we continue to maintain a balanced approach across the B2G and B2B opportunities. The B2G segment, which is primarily to the Indian Railways, continues to provide scale and participation in large national railway modernization programs. At the same time, The B2B business is helping improve the cash conversion efficiency through faster receivable cycles and lower working capital intensity. We are also seeing a strong traction in the order inflows. As of now, our executable order book, including L1 position, stands at approximately 860 crore plus GST, which is more than 1000 crore including if we include the GST. Within the first 45 days of FY27 itself, we have already secured significant order wins and L1 positions across multiple railway signaling and infrastructure projects. This gives us a stronger execution visibility entering FY27. Now, going to the cash flow. Now, let me address the operating cash flow and working capital situation, which our investors and shareholders will naturally observe carefully. The elevated receivables and operating cash flow situation during FY26, which you see in the balance sheet, were largely driven by an extraordinary timing distortion in project award cycles. Several large railway projects, primarily on the second half of the year, which experienced delays in the bid to LOA conversion timelines in the second half. As a result, execution and billing got heavily concentrated towards the end of March instead of being evenly distributed across the quarter. This created a temporary spike in receivable at year end. Importantly, this is a timing issue rather than a structural collection risk issue. Our customer base largely consists of sovereign railway entities, metros and established industrial clients. Collections have already started normalizing steadily in the Q1 FY27. And in last 45 days, we have collected more than 90 crores in this cycle of the last 2 months billing. Management is actively working towards smoothening the cash flow cycles by significantly improving the order book to revenue ratio with increased focus on billing discipline, receivable governance and smoother execution distribution during financial year 27. This strategy is already put in motion, which is reflected by the fact that within the first 45 days, we have added around almost 350 crore of new orders, giving us the ability to spread our execution and cash flow requirements more efficiently. We expect operating cash flow quality to improve materially over the coming quarters as the order cycle stabilizes and billing distribution normalizes. Despite scaling at more than 50% year on year, we continue to maintain a disciplined balance sheet management. If you see, our adjusted debt equity ratio stands at approximately 0.68, while our ROC remains strong at around 17%. This reflects our continued focus on balancing growth with capital discipline. As we look ahead, this financial year becomes an important execution and scaling year for us. The management is positive towards keeping the momentum on the same CAGR of 45% to 50%, maintaining the same profitability at the margin levels. These targets, what we have taken for ourselves, are supported by a significantly stronger open order book, healthy order pipeline visibility, strong signaling modernization opportunities, and increasing strategic positioning through Nova. Alongside domestic growth, we are also carefully evaluating international opportunities, particularly through our design engineering and product verticals. We believe markets across Southeast Asia, Middle East and Africa can create meaningful opportunities over the medium term. However, at the same time, given the current geopolitical environment globally, we remain cautious and calibrated in our international strategy approach. So as we move towards Vision 2029, our ambition is very clear. We aim to build a resilient, innovation-led railway technology enterprise capable of crossing 1,000 crore in annual revenue while sustainably expanding profitability through technology ownership, vertical integration, OEM capability and recurring life cycle revenues. Most importantly, we remain committed to building safer, smarter and more efficient railway systems that contribute meaningfully to the future of mobility and national infrastructure. I would like to thank all our investors, shareholders, customers, banking partners, employees and the board for their continued trust and support. With that, I request to open the floor for the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. That is star and one to ask a question, ladies and gentlemen. Our first question comes from the line of Darshil Jhaveri with Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my question, sir. Firstly, congratulations on a really great set of results, sir. Sir, I just wanted to know, we have a roughly 1,000 crore order book. So what is the execution period for that, sir?
So generally, execution cycle for our business is typically around 18 to 24 months. Sometimes it gets extended to around maximum 30 months.
Oh, okay. Fair enough, sir. So, sir, with that logic, we could easily, we'll be able to easily do more than 500 crore revenue this year, right? So if it is 18 to 24 months, right?
Yeah, from the management, so what we are trying to do this particular year is that we will continue to have a 45 to 50% growth momentum while also having a sustainable profitability and operating cash flow cycle. So that is the main aim, and as you understand, Darshan, that we are building this company for a long haul, for a 1,000 crore vision by 2029, and we are trying to get the company completely capable of taking forward this journey.
Okay, that's really great to hear, sir. So just with regards to margins, sir, I just wanted to know, because of the war impact, do we see some headwinds in margins? And FY26 also had some decline in EBITDA margins compared to FY25, right? So can we reach back at least that, 11.5% range, or, what do you feel, sir, about the margins? Because even H2 FY25 and H2 FY26 is significantly different. So how do you, on a higher scale of revenue, why are the margins a bit lower, sir? So.
Right. So, good question. So, Darshan, so there were very few specific factors during FY26 which have contributed towards marginally lowering the total over EBITDA margins. So, and most of them are transitional or timing related rather than any structural in nature. So if you carefully see that, we have our ESOP related expenses which are fully factored into post IPO. This was the first year where we factored in. Secondly, we have also invested into Nova, and there were a lot of expenses. On the ESOP part of it, it is around 1.5 crore which basically contributed to that. So the total difference in terms of, say, on the percentage basis, if it is on a percentage basis year on year, it was like a 4 crore difference in terms of PAT, right? So there are three basic things. One is this ESOP part of it. Second, there is this Nova facility which we have started, and there the commercialization is yet to start, right? So there were some expenses of Nova which we have been put into P&L, and then that is something around 50 lakhs odd. So that becomes basically 2 crore rupees. And due to the during the last quarter of FY26, there was a temporary disruption in the commodity and supply chain pricing across certain categories due to the year-end procurement, due to this supply chain volatility, and you know the conditions, geopolitical conditions. Though while most of our contracts contain PVC clauses which protects us against commodity price fluctuations, the timing of the sudden increase and the year-end execution concentration did not actually allow the full impact of those escalations to be recovered within the same financial period. So that basically have around an impact of around 2 crores. So that's a direct EBITDA impact as well. So if you take this 2 crore, 1.5 and 0.5, 4 crores, we should have maintained the same PAT percentage. So also I wanted to mention one point, that going forward, structurally we remain protected through the contractual PVC mechanisms, and even there is a commodity related volatility, it will be normalized through the better execution and billing distribution, and while we realize it through the PVC clauses. More importantly, we believe the medium-term margin trajectory for the company remains pretty positive, because future margin expansions, as we see, we are creating drivers for the future margin expansions through the Nova product integration, higher engineering contribution through EDRC, and the O&M revenues coming up, a stronger signaling mix, and also a part of B2B growing very rapidly, where the operation, working capital cycles are much more less intense. So while FY26 included this kind of small changes, but on a medium term, we expect to keep up the margins in the similar way.
Fair enough, sir. So just wanted to know, like, when we have these price escalation clauses, so example, if a commodity has risen 20%, then do we get that similar 20%, or, you know, government has their own mechanisms, or how does that work? Because we've heard that sometimes government doesn't give us as much escalation as, you know, that we require. So so will this, you know, higher, because the war is not ended yet, so will this also commodity prices be a factor in our H1, you know, margins also?
So as I said, we are generally protected by the PVC clauses, right? But it also depends on a bit of timing related. So there are spot prices for, especially for materials like copper, right, which is a very important ingredient for the cables which we use for the signaling or in the overhead electrification projects. Now for steel and copper kind of commoditized part, if the timing when we are supplying, that is very critical to adjust the amount of PVC which we can take back. So as, because if in the last quarter we had to basically supply it, and then there was a margin concern, so there was a billing concentration happening in March, we did not have a choice to distribute it over that timeline. But when we are going in this new financial year, we have enough timeline to distribute it properly to get the maximum advantage of the PVC clause to come very close to the amount of inflation the commodity prices are achieving.
Okay, fair enough, sir. I'll get back in the queue, sir. I have some more questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may please press star and 1 on your touchtone telephones. Our next question comes from the line of Murtaza with Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes. Hi, Murtaza. Good evening.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just had a couple of questions. Firstly, sir, regarding the working capital. It's mentioned in the investor presentation that we have already received roughly 90 CR in quarter one. So could you give a little bit more commentary regarding the receivables recovery timeline and what exactly, like what can we expect the working capital days to normalize by the end of FY27, let's say?
Right. So I think, see, it is important for all of us to understand the nature of the railway infrastructure business model. The railway industry is inherently a seasonal and back-ended in nature, right? So in most railway projects, especially in signaling and system integration businesses, the execution intensity, billing activity and customer certification processes are heavily concentrated towards the second half, and you can also see for other companies as well. And particularly the last quarter of the year, it is maximum concentrated. At the same time, the railway's expenditure deployment also accelerates. So the execution ramps up, material deployment increases, subcontracting activity increases. So structurally, the industry itself tends to show an elevated working capital deployment towards year end. Now in FY26, this normal seasonality also got amplified further due to some of the delays in bid to LOA conversion timelines. So basically it is like a 2-month shift which created this anomaly, and most of the billing were done in March instead of being distributed evenly in January, February, March. So our data in terms of data days, in terms of say railway receivables on the data basis, it's around 60 to 70 days and we get back the money. So if we could have billed some of the say proportionate billing in January, we could have easily recovered the 90 crores or the 100 crores which we are collecting now by March itself, and that itself would have normalized our cash flow.
Is my understanding?
Yeah,
right, sir. So is my understanding a little flawed if I say it in this manner, that it's structurally a little difficult to show our operating cash flow positive at the year end?
It is not structurally, I will say, it's more of a timing issue. It's more of a timing issue in, around the business, in the businesses which we operate. But what we are actively doing this year is we are trying to nullify that risk nullify that kind of anomaly by open order book to revenue conversion cycle much more front ended. So if you see our right now in the last 45 days itself, we have taken almost 350 crore of orders. So now if we have order book in our hand of say 1000 crores or 860 crores as if now, 1000 crores, the execution timelines can be streamlined, and hence the timing for the supplies and execution, we can plan it better. And that's why this year we are very optimistic that this year we can build this cycle and come close to the operating cash flow neutral.
Okay, sir. And sir, regarding the order inflows, like you have rightly said, we have already received roughly 350 CR of orders in this current financial year. So I just wanted to understand what sort of order inflow are we targeting for FY27, and also are there any large ticket orders in our pipeline, let's say probably triple digit 100 CR plus or something like that in our pipeline?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So see, if you see right now itself, we have around 860 crore plus GST, so around 1000 crores of order book roughly, right? But throughout the year, we are targeting somewhere around taking our, this year itself, the new orders this year itself, around 1000 crores on this year itself. New orders accumulated throughout the year should be around 1000 crores. So this will be primarily as the railway is also entering a large scale modernization cycle in signaling upgrades, automatic block signaling, EI modernization and the safety systems. We are pretty much positive that these opportunities are increased. Also that now our credentials are also developed for taking the single orders of three figures. For that reason, our order conversion cycles are also becoming better. Now, in this 350 crore order itself, we have won a single order of around 200 crore plus, which is a composite system, comprises of signaling and signaling and electrification order in South Central Railway. So that is we have been adjudged as a lowest bidder for that. The order is just going to come in few days. So we are in a very good position this year to accumulate this 1000 crore order book because of our credentials which have been developed and the market also giving us that opportunity.
Sir, like, is it possible for you to quantify a little what sort of target we have for the order inflows, or is it a little difficult at the moment?
Potential new orders will be around. So here we will accumulate new orders of 1000 crores. New orders. Of which 350 crores we have got it, 650 crore we are targeting more.
Okay, sir. And sir, what is the roughly our win rate in these orders?
So we have been maintaining a steady bid conversion ratio of around 20 to 25% over the years, one of the moat which the company have because of the design capabilities, which is an in-house design capability which we have through our EDRC and the better how the signaling system modernizations are being planned and designed is very critical to basically derive the bill of materials from our engineering scale plan. And that's what helps us in winning the bid conversion ratio much better than our competition.
Right, sir. Right. That's really great, sir. And I have another question regarding Nova. Wanted to have a little better understanding in terms of what sort of investment will we have to do in terms of CAPEX and OPEX for Nova, like in this financial year, and what sort of contribution can Nova make in our consolidated P&L for FY27 and let's say FY28? Just rough numbers would work.
Yeah. So, see, right now we are operating, so the coverage is under development, right? And we are also planning to introduce few more projects for Nova around the safety critical application. So there is an investment plan around 15 crores this particular year to be made into Nova, and that will be basically through our accruals from ITUI itself because it's a 100% owned subsidiary. Going forward on the revenue part of it, so this year we have been basically eligible for the field trial. So we are positive that we will be getting our field trial order around the end of H1. The field trial, which is around 15 to 20 crores itself. But the revenue realization of that will take some time and it should start reflecting from FY28 start, Q1 of FY28.
Understood, sir. And just a clarification, the 15 crore amount you said, is it a capital expenditure?
Yes, it's more or less a capital expenditure, but there are expenses in nature which are regular expenses in nature which you cannot capitalize also, which will obviously be there.
Right. Yes, sir. Yeah, you can continue over saying something this in chapter.
So you can see our Kavach order book, Kavach reflecting in our order book in Q4 FY27 itself.
Right, sir.
Yeah.
Understood. Sir, and just lastly, I just wanted to understand our annuity revenue from O&M and AMC contracts, what sort of percentage does it have, or what is the target percentage by, let's say, end of FY27 or FY28?
This is a year in which we are actually actively working with few of the metros, and especially led by DMRC. We are working very closely with DMRC for participating in several metro O&M tenders. And we are also discussing with a lot of our private clients where we are actually working right now on the B2B business, that operation and maintenance is a very important subject in terms of keeping the asset health properly. So this year, this particular FY27, we are trying to at least get to around 5 to 6% of our revenues from the O&M business.
Okay, sir. Right, sir. That's great. Looking forward to great results, and all the best for the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mudit Jain from Haim Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah. Hi, Mudit.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Yeah, sir. A couple of questions from my side.
Yeah.
First is regarding what is the proportion of unbilled revenue in this half in FY26 H2?
Unbilled revenue is, one second, I'll just come back. What is the percentage? So I think it is 131, right?
Mm.
So it will be around 20 to 25% if I roughly remember. I'll just confirm you. One second.
For the year
only. For this year it is 8.6%.
8.6% for FY26.
Yes.
Okay. And then last year in H1 this proportion was around 96.2%. So will we see similar numbers in H1 of this year also regarding unbilled revenue?
Come again, please. Sorry.
And then last
I think
year
you're talking about cumulative numbers, right? Are you talking about balance sheet cumulative numbers or
yes,
for
sir.
The year?
Yes, sir.
So the cumulative numbers as of FY26 is around 34%. For the year it is 8.6%. So as you know, our projects, as I said, it goes around 18 to 24 months or even sometimes 30 months cycle. So this unbilled revenue will be progressively realized over this period of time. So right now in H1 itself, we are trying to also close up several projects. But the accumulation of unbilled revenue will keep continuing, because whenever we bill, we will have this 10 to 15% of the bill value to be on the unbilled part of it. So this is a feature of our business model, and all the work around it, this is, so unbilled over here, again I am emphasizing, It is the 100% work is certified. 100% work is certified. The work is done. There is no additional cost around it. It is just related to another separate milestone, which basically triggers the release of it. So this will continue to be around 30%, 25 to 30% number in throughout the year itself.
Okay. And so the proportion of subcontracting expenses as a percent of other expenses this year?
So I'll just give to my CFO. He will like to answer this.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So we are in the system integration business and the contracts. No, the contracts are spread across, geographies, and the contracts are spread across and in a different scope. So what happens actually, it is not a manufacturing company, we say raw material ratio and subcontract ratio. Normally, the subcontractor and the combination of expenses are a relation to the scope directly, because the scope will be varying from project to project. See, what happens, sometimes we, in a particular year, when the execution portion is more, the subcontractor expense will be more. And similarly, when the supplies are more, the supplies will be more.
So let me give a little bit more clarity. So basically, the nature of contract determines how much of the subcontract, how much will be percentage of execution or what is the supply. So there will be few contracts where it will be execution heavy and the supplies will be lesser, in which there will be some labor component which will be where their subcontractor part will increase. In somewhere there will be, the supplies will be more, the system integration will be more, and labor part will be very less. So it depends on the nature of contract. It cannot be, and also we need to emphasize one point, that we do not give a back-to-back contract, or we are not even allowed by the contract to give a back-to-back contract to any contractors. The only subcontracting portion which you see are the labor jobs, like the trenching, the cable laying activities, which are basically subcontracted through the labor contractors.
Okay. Got it, sir. Okay. And so one more question. To sustain the 30% CAGR which you said for next 3-4 years, how much order info is required?
Our CAGR, which we are positive to maintain around 45 to 50% over the next 2-3 years.
So to maintain this CAGR, sir, how much order inflow is required, sir?
We are working on the same model, that the order conversion ratio for this particular year. So new orders, we are planning to get around 1,000 crores of new orders this year. So end of the year, if we execute around 500 to 600 crores order this year, the opening order book will be similar, around 1,000 crores.
Okay.
So for FY28, we project around, we target around 1,000 crores of open order book at the end of the year, or the opening of FY28.
Okay. And sir, regarding margins, as you explained earlier, so you said that around 4 crores was the difference, 2 crores for raw material, 50 lakhs for which you invested in Nova, and 1.5 crore ESOP related expenses.
Right.
So if I include this also, the margins looked pretty low compared to last year's second half, H2. So what exactly is the reason behind that, sir?
No. See, you need to basically, when you see our entire balance sheet or your my financials, you need to compare year on year, because there are some portions. So it's a integrated work order which we execute. So there are some portion of it which will carry higher margins, some portion will carry lower margins. You need to see a year on year to have a good comparison. Half yearly basis, it's a very, very difficult to comprise, because the orders are stretched over the full year.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Vedant Sonawane with MJM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening, sir. First of all, congratulations for a great financial year. So I wanted to ask that in your Jan 2026 PPT, you gave the TAM for Kavach was 50,000 crore. And in May 26 PPT, you said the TAM was for Kavach was 1.5 lakh to 2 lakh crore. Why is that, sir?
No, see, you need to understand when the first Kavach it was getting ruled in the market, the first target for the government was to do 40,000 kilometers and the first 10,000 locomotives. So when we gave the initial presentation, so we were taking the earlier total addressable market for Kavach. Now you see that the government is, with the success of the initial rollout of Kavach, the government has focused on rolling out Kavach for the entire high density, high utilized network, plus also the other corridors, and the total 20,000 locomotives, which is in the cycle. Plus, we also have every year 300 to 500 locomotives being added in the system, which includes your electric locomotives and your memus and some of the metro trains as well. Now, in fact, if you have our Honorable Railway Minister also have mentioned that the rolling stock for high speed rail is also going to be from India and for the new corridors. And that will also mean that Kavach will be the signaling system for the high-speed rail as well. This number is not a fixed number because Kavach is as a system will keep on increasing. It's a solution. It's not a single one product basis and it has a lifetime. It will continue. So the more it will evolve, the more it will get commercialized, the total addressable market will keep on increasing. So this is the same in terms of the other technologies, and you can also compare this technology with the other automatic train protection systems across the globe, where the total addressable market is continuously evolves and increases.
Okay, thank you, sir. Yeah, that was my only question. I'll get back in the line if I have more.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar Paliwal with Shefa Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on Nova front. So what is the competitive landscape on Kavach as market is getting crowded there? How do you stand different or creating moat, getting into deep tech, and how Tata Alexa helped you to creating this moat for you?
Perfect. Rahul, thank you for the question. So if you see the total Kavach opportunity, right, comprises of not only locomotive Kavach, but it also involves wayside Kavach as well, plus integrating those Kavach systems with the existing interlocking systems, right? So now when we were talking about competitions, right, when we are talking about competition, we are talking about competition for not a single product which can be installed in a locomotive. We are talking about a solution. We are talking about a solution which basically encompasses a total track network of 132,000 kilometers and a growing locomotive count of 20,000 plus around 10% year-on-year increase, right? So when you see the total overall opportunity, there the amount, you know, the enormity of this work will be obviously needs more able OEMs and system integrators coming together, right? Then our moat in terms of the cover journey is not only Tata Elxsi, but our deep expertise in the system integration front. So when we talk about coverage as a system, it has to be installed in a locomotive, it has to be installed on the waysides and then on the stations, and then this entire system has to take its feedback from the interlocking systems over there. So whenever we are talking about when we talk about other competition, if you see all the people which are approved right now or under development, those are all only OEMs or product manufacturers. They do not have a background or experience of system integration. And there we come from a complete product background, the deep expertise of Tata Elxsi on the product background, and we come as from the system integration background, and this blade is going to create a mode which will make the rollouts much faster, much seamless. So even with the three OEMs being approved over last 3 years, the total rollout, if you have seen, is very little. The reason for this is whenever there is a field trial, whenever they are going to put it in the field and do an interoperability test, they are struggling because the expertise required with the other subsystems are absent with those people. But we are already evolving from there. And that's why we stand a much more higher chance in terms of competitiveness and the rollout practicality.
Got it. This is Vinay here.
I would just want to add a few points around what Sarojit mentioned. I mean, the question is absolutely apt given that, there are already close to about 15 players who today have put their hats in the ring for Kavach, development. Where we see a significant moat for ourselves is in the fact that, as Sarojit mentioned, we have Kavach which goes into the locomotive, but we also have significant part of Kavach that goes into stations as well as the wayside, right, on the tracks. Now, our system integration capability, our signaling capabilities have been on the station as well as on the wayside, right? Our understanding of all the other subsystems that Kavach would have to work with has been built over the last 15 to 16 years, and we have proven experience there. When it comes to today, what is happening? Today, the landscape that you see, today, large number of Kavach orders that are coming are largely focused around locomotives. And the advantage the loco coverage orders have is that, one, OEMs can directly participate. Second, the level of interoperability is, the complexity involved in making it interoperable is moderate, right? It is not very high. When it comes to wayside and when it comes to station coverage, the level of interoperability, especially with other subsystems, including electronic interlocking, automatic block signaling, is significantly higher. There, our system integration capabilities will come to the fore. It will make us significantly better in terms of our costing when those projects come in. Second, while execution of those projects, ensuring interoperability, which requires understanding of all the other subsystems, we will be able to excel. So we will be able to roll out faster. We will also be able to be L1 bidders, given that we understand the what it takes to sort of, the modifications that are required to achieve successful coverage implementations, right? So that is where our strength will start showing up significantly versus local
coverage. Got it. Two short questions. This, how does this annuity work in coverage orders? For example, if it is a 1,000 crore order, what will be the annuity business for you? That's question number one. And second, you spoke about in a presentation being a product company from an EPC company. I guess you don't want to get into manufacturing side. So, and product company through mostly through Nova platform, or there are some other ideations which are coming into as a system integration, and I see a PE backing for you, so PE promoter at your boardroom. So what kind of contribution coming from those promoter? What are the key boardroom decisions which are turning into business for you now, which been discussed in last couple of years?
Since the PE promoter is in the room, I'll just take that question. This is Vinay Rao. I am the PE promoter here with E2E Rail. So we take a very active role in the company. We are extremely focused towards value build for ourselves and for all the shareholders of the company. We have been a constant in this company since 2012. So this is over 16 years being associated with the company. In that period, we have, seen the company grow, pivot, as well as successfully now list, right? So our contribution continues to be on the strategy side. Given our PE background and the depth that we have in the market, bearing a lot of resources that is also helping E2E become a successful product company.
Got it. Yeah. And then anyone can address that coverage annuity or business?
Yeah. If you have to understand Kavach is a blend of hardware and software, right? Now, what happens is that the moment you put Kavach on a locomotive and then you are basically doing the wayside and the station, right? And then there is a safety thing which, a complete safety net which is being established. But however, whenever there is a change in the signaling plans, because Kavach is a safety layer, it's not a logical layer. So whenever there is a change in the systems, say in the station routes are more, some more lines are being laid, some more signals are being put, there are automatic block signaling comes from absolute block signals, then there are alterations which keep on coming on the Kavach. Of already installed coverage, and then that gives you. So this is happening also now for the electronic interlocking which is being installed. And then when we are talking about this way, we are talking about more on the wayside and station part of it, right? And then it is already happening in electronic interlocking, where we call it as alterations of the existing systems. So there is a continuous alterations which happens, and then there are software and hardware changes which needs to be done to accommodate those alterations in the design. So that is part of one of the annuity. The second is the continuous maintenance of the systems, which is somewhere around 3-5% of your product value. And at this point of time, when the material is new and the entire product is new to the system, they are basically taking a 2 to 3 years of maintenance cost along with the tenders itself. So, but after 3 years, the system has to be still maintained, and this 3 to 5% will keep on coming to all the product manufacturers throughout the life cycle, total life of the product, which is around 15 years.
Sure. Thanks. I will get back into queue.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kapil Advani with Alt Growth Fund. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi Kapil. Good evening.
Hi, good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, audible.
Sir, first of all, congratulations on the CCA for coverage.
Thank you.
Sir, my question is on the coverage order inflow. How much revenue we expect from Kavach in FY28?
So, right now, what we plan is that in around January 2028, we will be eligible for 20% developmental order. 20% developmental order. And we will be receiving that in, say, around March or April 2028. So our full approval will come around October 2028. So but we will be able to start our once my field trials are completed, which we aim to finish around next year, Feb to March, we will be eligible to start supplying the products for the already won orders. So we have taken a very conservative approach at this point, and we in FY 2028 we are only planning for the field trial execution of 20 crore to be executed in FY 28. However, in FY 29 the entire full commercialization cycle will come, and there we have projected around the major revenue to be coming around FY 29, which is around 150 to 200 crores.
Sir, I think in the PPT it is mentioned that the RDSO approval will be getting by April 2027. So I thought that the Kavach revenue will be flowing in FY 28.
No, so once April RDSO final approval done, then we will be basically will be eligible to apply for all the products, all the tenders, and then the supply and execution cycle starts. So generally the execution cycle for Kavach is around 12 months of time. So we are not projecting too aggressively at this point, but we will recalibrate this once we come closer to this approval. But at this point of time, we have not taken too much of revenues from the Kavach on FY28.
Okay, sir. Got it.
So I just want to reiterate that we have been very conservative in terms of the timeline, and hence we are giving a guidance for commercialization in FY29. We will certainly try to do better and as early as possible. So there could be upsides, but conservatively we are projecting full commercialization starting FY29.
Okay, got it. And sir, what is the guidance for the margins for FY27 and FY28?
FY27, we'll continue to maintain the margin that we had in FY26. We do have ESOP expenses continuing into FY27. We likely will have 3 years of vesting, and as a result, ESOP expenses coming for us. FY29 is when we are looking at Kavach full commercialization. That is our big fat lever, right? That is where we would start seeing our product margins come upwards of 30% to 40%, and that will have a direct impact on the overall company level PAT, right? So which should start moving from the 5% range that we are in right now towards the 7% to 8% range. And this is in FY29.
Okay, sir, got it. And sir, are there any new products that we are working in?
Yeah, so Nova is actively right now working in developing a few of the safety critical applications. We will be in a position to announce the exact products in a few months of time once we have started and then properly registered in the right forums and the authorities. And once we do that, we will be obviously announcing to the market. But what we are trying to do over here in Nova, that we want to create a complete one integrated railway safety platform. So what we see today as a system integrator, that there are multiple products, there are multiple safety critical applications in railways. Kavach is one of them. So safety and efficiency both together is what signaling and telecommunication are all about. And what we are trying to create in Nova, that we will be focusing on this safety critical applications and building efficient and intelligent product for the entire portfolio. So at this point, what we can let you know, that we are working on hardware and electronics for several few of the very critical applications. and we shall be able to disclose it to the market in coming few months of time.
Got it, sir. That is all from me. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up from Murtaza with Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi again, sir. I just had a couple more questions regarding execution. I just wanted to understand it a little better. Just talking about our monthly average monthly execution run rate in FY27, what was it excluding the March portion? Because I guess it was abnormally a little higher in the March.
Yeah, so the March revenues were supposed to be distributed in January, February, March. So basically, the March itself was around 170 crores, 70, 80 crores almost. So in 48% of the revenue came in March, which was supposed to be distributed in January, February, March itself. So if you see the run rate for quarter four should have been around 70 odd crores per month, 70 to 80 crores per month in the quarter four, which we planned initially. But the delay in the order conversions basically resulted into revenue concentration in March.
See, one other input that I would like to give you is there is a billing cycle and then there is an execution cycle, right? So while we might have billed up to 170 crores in March, to bill that 170 crores, there has been work going on from January, February, right? So there is quite a bit of design work that needs to be done, design approvals that need to be taken. Subsequently, vendors have to be finalized, a lot of negotiations has to happen. Then you need to place the PO, then you have to ensure manufacturing happens in time, delivery happens, inspections happen in time, and so on, right? So there is a lot of execution that is happening in parallel. However, the billing is a summation of a lot of these activities, right? Which sort of gets back-ended, into March.
Right, so I understand there's a difference between billing and the execution side. So I just wanted to understand in that context, like, what was the execution part of things, like, on an average monthly versus what are we planning that to be in FY27, the monthly run rate, the execution run rate. So just wanted to broadly understand if like, are we at least pushing it up a bit, and how will we sort of be able to at least sort of reach our 30-35% CAGR target to actually...
So what we target is around, say, we generally have around H1, H2 of around 35-65, right? 35%, 65%. We are trying to better it by 40-60. So, this year, what our proposal, our projection is H1, we should be around closing in around 200 crores. So that's the guidance what we are trying to give. The rest will be built in H2. Monthly is a little difficult to project, but it is more or less quarterly. And quarterly run rate for the H1 is around 100 crores, and for H2 it will be around 160 to 170 crore.
Right, yes. I understand this is very sufficient. It fulfills my need. And just one final question. I just wanted to understand on the manpower side of things, like, how is it? Because for the past few days, ever since the summer has kicked in, there's a lot of labor shortage or something in the industry going on. So is it something we are also facing, and by any chance are we seeing some sort of an impact because of it on our execution?
See, you want a seasonal business. This is a, so we are in India and this is a, the seasons we understand, and we take our proper measures around what kind of execution to be done in which season. We are basically planned. So there are, during the rainy season, we will not be able to do the outdoor work. Right, so we will be majorly focusing on the system integration side, on various subsystem integration inside the stations. In the summer month, we have certain schedules for distribution of the manpower where it will be deployed. Our major work, it does not include too much of labor. It is more on the system integration side and technology side, right? So, there are labor components, but those labor components are well planned into different timing cycles, and they will be basically delivering it. So, for an example, for peak summer, our working hours generally happens from 6:30 to 11:30, and then we again start doing the work from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So even some point of time where it is allowed to do night working, we can also do with proper lighting and safety measures. We also do some night working in case of any kind of emergency or expedited work requirements.
Perfect, sir. That's great. And just one final question regarding our the O&M and AMC contracts. Is it right for me to assume that we are expecting roughly about 20 crore of revenue from the annuity type contracts by the end of FY27? And secondly, I just also wanted to understand what is the nature of the contract. Like, what sort of duration let's say DMRC appoint a certain entity? Is it a very short term?
Yeah. No, it is not short term. So generally we go for annuity model of minimum of 5 years, and it can go up till 15 years. So right now the opportunities which we are discussing with DMRC are for 15 years, and it might start with a 1 year, and then they extend it for 5 years, and then the 5 years get extended into 10 and 15. But there are some discussions on long term annuity models also in some with some of the metros, where they are looking at 15 years timeline for the maintenance as well. And then for the private sidings, we are looking at somewhere around 1 to 2 years, where obviously the dynamics will change. So that's a sustainable part of the business, and what we are looking at that this life cycle maintenance part will be obviously major when our own products will kick in. That will be a pretty substantial part of our revenue, and the margin levers will be there. But till then also, we are trying to do this system maintenance. And then the system maintenance will have longer period cycles.
Right. One final thing regarding this as well. Like, in terms of the longer duration contracts, like let's say 5 years or 15 years, how does the pricing escalation clause come into picture? How does that happen?
So generally there are two types. So one, there is a PVC clause, as I said, which takes care of the inflation, and there are separate components for manpower and for the component for the materials, these are all built into the contract. So when we basically do the costing, we can see that if the PVCs are sufficient to basically cover our inflations and the uncertainties around it, and we will build the risks around it. We will build the cost with the risk. We also see the contracts where there are very long-term contracts. These might be renegotiated in next 5 years or next 3 years of time. Every 3 years, there is a renegotiation clauses also comes in few of the contracts. So it generally depends on the nature of contract and how do you budget it.
Right, sir. Understood. Thank you very much. It's been a very insightful call. thank you for your detailed responses and all the best for the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Murtaza. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. We have no further questions, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you to all our shareholders, stakeholders and analysts for taking out the time. And we can certainly say that we are in a great position at this point of time as per the company's fundamentals are concerned. Plus, we are at the right time in terms of the market. Indian Railways is going through the tremendous modernization cycle, and as a technology-backed railway system integrator and becoming a completely safety-led OEM, we are positive to bring around a complete, safe, smarter and efficient system for the railways and also deliver profitable growth for the company and all our shareholders. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of E2E Transportation Infrastructure Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.